Our scripture lesson for this morning comes from John 13, verses 31 to 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterward." Peter said, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times." Please bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this special day, and we thank you for this word upon which we can reflect at this time. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through it. We pray, Lord, that as we listen to your word, you would bring us to awareness of our sin, bring to our attention the punishment that we deserve, and most importantly, Lord, bring to our attention the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf, that we might have forgiveness. So work in us in that way, and then further instruct us, Lord, how we can live for you, how we can glorify you here in this world. So be with us and bless us and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we are this morning, the second Sunday of May. I hope all of you know what that means. If you haven't figured it out by now, you better think pretty quick after I say to everyone, Happy Mother's Day for all of our moms who are gathered together with us here this morning. And as it is Mother's Day, I do want to focus our attention this morning on the topic of motherhood. But when I say this, I think in reality I need to say that we're going to focus this morning on the topic of parenthood. And I say this because as we look at our lesson, as we look at the topic that we'll be discussing, we'll see that it applies to men and to dads as much as it applies to women and to moms. In fact, it's even bigger than that, because as we really dive into this, we'll see that it speaks also to children, it speaks to husbands and wives, to citizens and rulers, employees, employers, teachers, students, church members, and church leaders. However, whenever we think of Mother's Day, or whenever we think of Father's Day for that matter, the scripture that probably comes to mind initially for most of us is Exodus 20, verse 12. And this verse is the fourth commandment in which God says to us, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." So simply put, God is calling us in this passage to honor our parents. We are then called to esteem them. We are called to revere them. We are called to love them and exalt them. We are called to obey them. Explaining this commandment in his small catechism, Martin Luther says it this way: "We are to fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them." Now, we all realize, I think, that this is the ideal. And as parents, we all hope that our children will honor us as commanded by God. But when we look at this commandment from the perspective of the child, we find that this isn't always easy. In fact, I think it's safe to say that it's rarely easy. Even if we try to justify this commandment, telling people that their parents are deserving of honor, it's not easy. even if we justify this commandment telling people how much their parents have done for them, it's not that easy. If we justify it reminding them that their mother gave birth to them, if we justify it reminding them that their parents fed them and clothed them and housed them and supported them and drove them to all of their activities, suffered through their fifth grade band concerts, and on and on and on, it's simply not that easy. And it's not easy because, quite frankly, our parents are human. It's not that easy because our parents are sinners. So no matter how much they love us, and no matter how well-intentioned they may be, the simple fact of the matter is that they fall short. They fall short of God's standards as well as of our own. As we all know from experience, parents will at times lose their temper. Parents will at times make a bad decision or a bad judgment. Parents will at times say something insensitive to their children. And for this reason, one of the objections I've often heard when it comes to the fourth commandment is this: but my parents aren't worthy of honor and respect. They certainly aren't worthy of obedience. And perhaps this is something that's played itself out in your own life. You may not feel that one or even both of your parents are worthy of honor because they don't listen to you as you try to express yourself. You may not feel they're worthy of honor because they're not considerate of your feelings. You may not feel that they're worthy of honor or respect because they tend to be harsh. You may not feel they're worthy of honor or respect because they're selfish and self-interested. You may not feel they're worthy of honor and respect because you possess different opinions or even different belief systems. You may not feel they're worthy of honor and respect because they never acknowledge their shortcomings or even apologize when they do something wrong. However, that being said, it could also be a situation that's far more drastic than those I just mentioned. Perhaps you've had a parent who is an alcoholic or a drug addict. Perhaps you've had a parent who was unfaithful to the other. Perhaps you've had a parent who is mentally ill. Perhaps you've had a parent who is abusive. And because of their behavior, you simply do not feel they're worthy of honor and respect. And for reasons such as these, we often feel justified in distancing ourselves from our parents. For reasons like these, we feel justified in cutting ourselves off from our parents. And quite frankly, we feel justified in our disrespect of our parents. In fact, society would encourage us to do so. They would encourage us to distance ourselves or to cut ourselves off completely from our parents. They tell us that this is the right thing to do. They tell us it's the right thing to do so that we can protect our own mental health. But is this scriptural? What would God have us to do when we have a parent who is unworthy of honor? And I believe the answer is very clear as we dive into the Word of God. The first thing I would say is this: our first allegiance, our primary allegiance, is to none other than God Himself. And for this reason, if a parent is asking us to do something that is sinful, we have good reason to refuse. In fact, refusing to obey in that case is the right thing to do. If your parent is an alcoholic and they expect you to supply them with alcohol, you should absolutely refuse. There is absolutely no sin in that. If your parent is a drug addict and they want you to take delivery of illegal drugs or to supply them with drugs, you should refuse. There's no sin in that. If your parent is asking you to steal, you should refuse. Again, there's no sin there. And if your parent is asking you to lie to others, you should refuse. Again, there is no sin in that. However, that being said, our parents are not asking us to sin in most circumstances. Our parents are not asking us to violate the will of God in most circumstances. The reasons we have for dishonoring our parents, they tend to be far less pure and far more tainted than we want to believe. We feel justified in dishonoring our parents because of some perceived wrong that they have inflicted upon us. However, the first thing that we really have to stop and ask ourselves is if we are right. We have to ask ourselves if our parents truly did something wrong or if it's simply a perceived wrong. We have to ask ourselves if they truly have done something that makes them deserving or unworthy, rather, of honor. And if we're honest with ourselves, we'll find that in some cases we feel this way even though our parents have not truly done anything wrong or sinful. We sometimes react emotionally because we disagree with something that they have said or done. And this tends to happen most often, I believe, when we are young. We get upset because they didn't let us do something that we wanted to do. We get upset because they didn't let us go somewhere that we wanted to go. We get upset because their rules are more strict than those imposed upon other children by their parents. Other times, however, we're absolutely right. In some cases, our parents absolutely did something wrong. In some cases, they did do something that makes them undeserving of honor. However, even if this is the case, does it justify our behavior? Does it justify the lack of honor that we show to them? And the answer to this question is no. What I'm saying is the old cliche, one sin doesn't justify another, as some have put it, two wrongs don't make a right. If our parents sinned against us, this does not justify in any way our sin against them. Even when our parents sin against us, it doesn't change. It doesn't invalidate the command that God has given to us, that we honor them. So we honor them first and foremost as an act of service before God. We honor them first and foremost in obedience to God. We honor our parents because by doing so, we are ultimately honoring the Lord. Now, looking at things biblically, we must understand that our parents, they are sinners just as we are sinners. We must understand that because they are sinners, they will sin. Because they are sinners, they will fall short. And we must understand that God's command to honor our parents, it was given to us in light of their sinfulness. What I mean is that when God first gave this commandment to his people, they were already sinners. This was not a command that was given to mankind before the fall. It wasn't a command given to mankind with the expectation that they would be perfect. So once again, their sin does not invalidate this command in any way. And when we consider this command, we should look at it in light of Jesus' words in John 13, which I read for you a little bit earlier. We're just going to look at a piece of it. But starting in verse 34, Jesus says this: "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." So Jesus, he begins by saying he's giving to his disciples a new commandment. But initially, as we look at this, this command really doesn't seem all that new. After all, the command to love one another, it's found all throughout the Old Testament. For example, in Leviticus 19:18, God says this: "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." And later on in Leviticus 19:34, he says, "The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." And a last example I'll share with you is in Deuteronomy 10 and verse 19, where God says, "Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt." So this command to love one another, it's not new. The new aspect of this command is the way in which we are called to love. And he calls us to love one another as he has loved us. So his love is the standard that we are called to emulate. We then have to ask, well, how has Jesus loved us? And the answer to this question should be absolutely clear. Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life for us. He loved us so much that he gave his life on the cross that he might pay the penalty of our sin. And not only did Jesus die for our sin, he died for us while we were still sinners. He died for us while we were unworthy of his love. He died for us when we were unworthy of forgiveness. He died for us when we were unworthy of salvation. In describing our condition before we came to faith, Scripture says that we were enemies of God. It says that we were followers of the devil. It says that we were dead in our trespasses and that we were by nature children of wrath. This then was our condition when Jesus died for us. This was our condition when Jesus paid the penalty of our sin. We hadn't cleaned up our own act. We weren't even sorry for what we had done. We were in no way deserving of the sacrifice that he made for us. And the word that we use to describe this in the Christian faith is grace. And grace, as most of you know, it's defined as an undeserved gift. It's defined as unmerited favor. If Jesus had waited to love us until we were deserving of love, that day would have never come. If he had waited to save us until we were deserving of salvation, that day would have never come. If he had waited to forgive us until we were deserving of forgiveness, that day would have never come. And it would have never come because we can do absolutely nothing to remove our sin. It would have never come because we can do nothing to overcome our sin. In this, you see, is how we are called to love one another. We are called to love one another as Christ has loved us. We are to love one another sacrificially, and we are to love others even when they are undeserving. We often see posts online saying that respect isn't given, it's earned. We see these posts being made even by Christians, and if they're not being made by Christians, we often see them being applauded by Christians. We fail to realize, however, that this contradicts the message of the gospel. If we wait for others to become deserving of our love, that day will never come. If we wait for them to become deserving of respect, that day will never come. If we wait for them to become deserving of honor, that day will never come. And that day will never come because, again, they are sinners. That day will never come because they will remain sinners. And they will remain sinners until they meet Jesus face to face. They will remain sinners until the day that they are transformed into the image of Christ. And because they are sinners, I know we hate to think of this, but they will sin against us. Because they are sinners, they will disappoint us. We then must love others graciously just as Jesus loves us graciously. And this applies differently depending upon our vocation. As our AFLC pastor Jason Goodham often says in his teaching, is that we love our spouse differently than we love our friends. We love our friends differently than we love our children. We love our children differently than we love our mechanic or our dentist or our grocer. And when it comes to our topic for today, when it comes to our parents, it means honoring our parents even when they are unworthy of honor. It means honoring them even while they are undeserving. It means honoring them as an act of grace. Now, as I say this, please, please, please do not misunderstand me. because I know there are some who take this to an extreme. And I'm not suggesting that you are called by God to remain in an abusive situation. I am not suggesting that you are called by God to subject yourself to violent or to cruel behavior. Boundaries are helpful and they are often necessary in relationships. But even so, we are called to honor our parents. And we are called to do so even when they are undeserving of that honor. And the same mindset applies across the board. It applies in all of our other vocations in which we find ourselves. For example, God calls wives to submit to their husbands. He calls them to respect their husbands. And we often hear the very same objection. We're often told by wives that their husbands are not worthy of respect. We're told that their husbands do not deserve submission. And once again, this is true, and it's true because all husbands are sinners. Because of our sin, we are undeserving of respect and submission, but wives are called to do so graciously. In the same way, we see in Scripture that husbands are called to love their wives. They are called to love their wives as Christ has loved the church. And we often hear the same objection. We can hear men saying that their wives are not deserving of love. And again, this is true. Our wives are sinners, and because they are sinners, they sin against us. And because of their sin, they are not deserving of our love, but we are called by God to love them graciously. God calls us as citizens to honor those who are over us. He calls on us to submit to our government leaders. And we again hear the same objection. We often hear that our leaders are not deserving of honor and that they are certainly not deserving of submission. And this is true. It's true no matter who is in office. It's true no matter which political party holds sway at any given point in time. They are unworthy because they are sinners. They are unworthy because they fall short. Yet we are called to honor them, to submit to them graciously. God calls us as church members to honor our spiritual leaders. And again, people will be quick to point out that they're not worthy of honor. Look, for example, at the sex abuse scandal in the Catholic Church. Look at the televangelists and the megachurch pastors who have taken advantage of women in their congregations and who have embezzled money from their ministries. Look at how human our pastors are. And this is true. Our spiritual leaders, they are unworthy of honor. They are unworthy of honor because they are sinners, yet we are called to honor them as an act of grace. The simple fact of the matter is that none of us are worthy. The simple fact of the matter is that none of us will be worthy this side of heaven. No matter what we tell ourselves, we are not worthy of love. No matter what we tell ourselves, we are not deserving of honor. No matter what others may tell us, we are not worthy of respect. We're not deserving of submission. We're not deserving of obedience. We're not deserving of forgiveness. And we certainly aren't deserving of salvation. All of this, it's given to us as an act of grace. All of this is received only by grace. It's only as a free, undeserved gift that we are able to receive anything worthwhile. And because of this, my hope and prayer is that we can look at the command that God has given us, the command to honor our parents in a way that is consistent with the gospel. I hope and pray that we can look at it in a way that is consistent with the Word of God. We can't expect perfection from those who are imperfect, but we can love them as God has called us to love them. We can honor them as an act of grace. Amen. I'll invite you now to bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we do once again thank you for the blessing that you have given to us in our parents. Whether they are alive now or whether they have gone to be with you, we are thankful for them. And Lord, we pray that you would work in our lives as children, so that we learn how to properly love our parents, how to properly honor them, and how to do so not because they are deserving or only when they are deserving, but to do so is an act of grace. And may it be a reflection, Lord, of the grace that we have received from you, the grace that forgave us even when we were unforgivable. And we ask you now to hear us as we pray together the prayer that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.